Okay, let's begin. Let's start again. Perek Zayin, Pasuk Aleph, Toiv, Shem, Mishemen Toiv. Okay, is this thing working? Toiv, Shem, Mishemen Toiv. Okay, better to have a good name, Toiv, Shem, Mishemen Toiv, better a good reputation than the best oil. The Yom HaMoves Miyomi Volto, better the day of death than the day one is born. And we really went through the Mitzvot on Friday, but let's review it quickly, and then we'll go into some other Mepharshim. Okay. It's away over here. Okay. Let's take a look at the Mitzvot Pasuk Aleph, and Perek Zayin Pasuk Aleph. Good morning, my Brizak. Good morning. Over here. Okay, Pasuk Aleph Toiv Shem Toiv Yotzil Adam Meirachoyk Bavur Meiser Fahagunim. The reputation, the good reputation a person earns, or the good reputation that precedes him, that. Shame toiv hayotzel adam meirachik bavur meisav hahogim, due to his good deeds. Who yoiser toiv is better mishem na toiv hanoidef rech toiv limrechok, is better than oil, fragrant oil. We're comparing here two things which have influence over one's environment. Fragrant oil, it gives fragrance to an entire room. You have an air freshener the whole room. So that's what it's supposed to be. It doesn't always work. Okay, so Shemen Toiv, it produces fragrance over a large area, and a reputation also is something which spreads over in a community. So even though both things are similar in regard to the fact that it's not stable, it's not localized, it's something which spreads to the distance, still in all, a reputation is better than fragrant oil. Why? Ki shem na toiv darko lahafig recha b'chol eitz v'ruhoylech v'chasar. A fragrant oil, as time passes, it dissipates. The fragrance gets less and less. Avol shem toiv darko lulechas v'l'skaber b'chol pam, but a shem toiv, the derech is a person's reputation, as time passes, gets greater and greater and spreads. Period. So that's the first part of the pasuk, comparing fragrant oil to a good reputation. B'yom ha'mavis yoseh tov l'odom yom ha'mavis miyom ha'voldo. Better is the day of death than the day of birth. Ki yishem toiv sheyotzlo b'chayiv lo yivsak achar hamisa. After a person passes from this world, his good reputation will remain with him forever. Avol b'yom hivoldo, but the day that he's born, ein yodua adayin im yizkel l'shem toiv v'im yizkayim Hashem. It's not known what the person will be. The future is in the balance. No one knows what kind of person this individual will be. Okay, it's interesting that on a matseva, what's the main thing you put on a matseva? The name. Today, matzevas have changed into a mini eulogy. Not a mini eulogy. Some people they write Megillus. They write, it's very expensive, but the Iker Tavkin of a matseva, I mean, the matseva is really there for to mark this location as the place of Tumah. Kohanim should be aware that this location is a mace and it should not come near. But going a step further, the matseva is also a reminder of the person's shame. Okay, we have the minhag that we write on the matseva, eulogy, but the eulogy is really different expressions are really just coming to give honor to the person's name. But the most important thing of a matzev is just to put the person's name. And in fact, the Bali Musa would just write on the matzeva their name. And that was it. The date also. I don't know. Today we do a lot of things. Today everything has changed.
By the initials.
That's poetic. That's poetry. Okay, that's
to enhance the name.
You take the name and you write a little poem, and you use the acronym of the name in order to write something.
The Russians put a picture in there.
The Russians, that's questionable. According to a lot of the poskim, that's not a good thing to do. Okay, people do a lot of things. They put a picture. There's even a question of should you have English letters. Okay, it's very common. It's very common. People, even very, very great people, have on the name, at least the last name. They need to identify. You go to the cemetery, you should identify that this is the family name. But they're all different minhagim. But the primary thing that a person puts on the mitzvah is the shame. And that's exactly what it says over here. Toiv shem yishem and toiv. The shame is better than shem and toiv. And the pasuk elaborates, v'yoyim hamavitz miyoyim hivolda. The day of death is more significant than the day of birth. Day of death, already it's known. The person has acquired for himself a good reputation. The day a person is born, we do not know what's going to be. The day the person is born, day, especially the bris, v'yikare shenoy b'yisrael. This will be his name. Who knows what's going to be? Some people, when they'll hear that name later in life, will say, oh, I don't want to hear that person. Don't even.
You should celebrate the death more than the birth.
That's exactly what it's going to say in the next pasuk. Toiv is exactly, read the next pasuk. Read the next pasuk says, Toiv lo leches lo beis evil mi leches lo beis mishra ba'avur ash hu soif kol odam ba'chai yitiliv. Technically, that's exactly where a person should go. A person should go to focus.
What is the origin of given a name by a bris and not when the baby is born?
It's born because that's what the bris, the person is not a complete Jew until he has the bris milah. The bris milah is the hashlama of his Jewishness. Avram Avinu, I don't have all the sources, but the child's kedusha is incomplete until he has a bris milah. The shame captures his essence, his kedusha. It cannot be given until he actually has the bris milah. Pretty much based upon that. Okay, let's take a look at Rashi. Rashi elaborates. Rashi mentions a number of midrashim. Toiv shem yishem and toiv. Yafe la adam shem toiv yishem and toiv. V'yom amavis, better for a person the shem toiv yishem and toiv. V'yom amavis toiv hashem on the day of death. Better is the name that he has acquired for himself. Miyom hivoldo. Now Rashi, right away, Rashi is basically, he translated the pasuk. Now Rashi is going to elaborate why we compare, what's the significance of shemen. This is the reason why we compare shem toiv to shemen more than other liquids. In other words, why didn't the pasuk compare a shem toiv to yayin or to fruit juice or some other type of liquid? Why are we comparing a person's name from all the various liquids to shemen? And the answer is what? So the Mitzudos already answered the question. Excellent. According to the Mitzudos, he already answered the question because we want to compare things that are similar. Shemen has a quality of fragrance. It spreads. It spreads to the environment. Yayin does not have that quality. Maybe a little bit, but it's not known for that. That's not what it's known for. In ancient times, shemen was a fragrant oil. By its name means it gives a pleasant, takes away a bad odor. Shemafarsimon, balsam oil. Okay, balsam oil that was used to smear on the person's body to smell good. So the Mitzudos already answered the question. We want to compare reputation to shemen to shem tov because we want to refer to two things which actually spread to the environment and to show that a shem tov is better than fragrant oil because a shem tov, it gets greater and greater as time passes, whereas shemen diminishes as time passes. Okay, but the Rashi is not working with that approach. Rashi, in fact, never makes mention of this idea. Rashi has a whole different set of different reasons why we compare specifically shemen, and he says, shemen rises, it floats. All other liquids, avol shor mashkin atu noisim l'sechay mayim behem boilim. Either the water will drop to the bottom, or there will be a mixture. It mixes. Water with wine mixes thoroughly. Whereas oil and mayim do not mix. Shemen rises to the top. So v'heim b'lubolim toiv shem yishemen toiv. So that's answer number one. So we want to show that even though oil is something which rises to the top, no matter how much you try to dilute oil with any liquid, oil will always rise to the top. a reputation, a person's reputation will always surface. No matter how much a person tries to humble himself, to hide himself, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has the tendency to cause a person who has good deeds, who has earned a good name, for his name to rise and to be elevated, to be Oyle Ligadula. Mi Yishofel Umi Yorum. The Masana Toikef. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will cause a person of a good reputation to rise to the top. That's number one. That's the first analogy. Number two. Toiv Shem Yishem and Toiv. Another idea. Better a Shem Toiv Yishem and Toiv. Toiv Shemen Toiv Yorid Lamata. In this example, he says that Shemen is still subject to gravity. It descends. Shenemar Kishemen HaToiv HaYorid Al HaZokon. Like Shemen that's put on a person's beard. When Moshe Rabbeinu he anointed Aaron, it says that the oil, he poured the oil on his head, and the oil descended through the laws of gravity onto his beard. So Shemen has descends. Even Shemen descends. Whereas Shem Toiv Oile Lamala, a good reputation goes Oile, ascends higher. Shenemar Vagadula Shenecha. Hashem said this to Avram Avinu, I will make your name great. So the Agadla has the connotation of greatness. Greatness means ascension. Shemen Toiv, another example. Okay, another example. Shemen Toiv L'shah. Shem, now this really touched upon what Rashi, with the Mitzvah says, Shem Tov is only for the moment, Shem Tov le'olam, but a reputation is forever. Shenemar, Yishmo le'olam, it says this about David, that his good name will be forever. A fourth example, Shemen Tov ho'lech mikitoin le'traklin, it leaves the container and enters into the palace. It's localized. You take some oil out of the container and you put it in the room. How far does the influence of Shemen go? V'lo yoyser. V'shem tadeh. This really, I take it back. This is really what the Mitzudo says. The Mitzudo is really focused on this idea. The Shemen Tov, its fragrance, can be sensed in its local environment, which means in the room itself. V'shem Tov, l'soif ha'olam, but the Shem Tov, it spreads to the end of the world. All my peers. That's four interpretations of Rashi, the difference between Shem Toiv versus Shemen Toiv. Omar Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Simoi, Motzin Balei Shemen Toiv. Now we quoted this, we discussed this on before Yom Tov. We find Balei Shemen Toiv, people who were inaugurated, who were anointed with Shemen Toiv, Nichnasu Limkoim Hachayim. They entered into the ultimate place of life. Where is the ultimate place of life in this world? The Kodesh HaKodashim. The Kodesh HaKodashim is the holiest of holy, the holiest makom in this world. And these two individuals, Nadav Aviyu, who were Nimshach B'Shem LaMishcha, they entered in alive. The Yatsu Srufim, but they came out dead. They died because they went in there without permission. V'Heim Nadav Aviyu Shenimshachu B'Shem LaMishcha U'Matzinu Balei Shem Toiv. Now here, we find in contrast to them people with good reputation. Who are these people? Hananya, Mishael, Va'Azariah. These were people who had a Shem Toiv, a good reputation. People who were Balei Maisim Toivim. Shenichnisu L'Mekoyim Hamisa. They entered into a Mekoyim Hamisa, a furnace, a place where one cannot possibly live more than one moment. V'Yotzu Chayim. Hananya, Mishael, Va'Azariah. Sheyotzu Mikiv Shano Esh. So the pasuk here says, Toiv Shem. Look at what a reputation, look what Maisim Toivim can do for a person. It can bring you life, even when you enter into a makom that is death. In contrast to Nadav Aviyu, who were people that were nimshach, which Shemen Hanishcha, Shemen Toiv, they entered into a makom of Chaim. They came, did not survive. They came out. They died. Okay, that's the fifth idea of the Rashi. Then the next point, V'yom Avos Mivoldo, Nolda Miriam. He gives an example. Yeah. Nolda Miriam, Ein Hakol Yoidim Mahi. When Miriam, he gives examples. Miriam, Moshe and Aaron. When Miriam was born, no one knew what would become of her. But Mesa, when she died, Nistalka HaBe'er, the Be'er in the Midbar, dried up. Everyone now realized that only in her marriage the Klal Yisrael have what to drink. V'chein Aaron, when he was born, no one knew what would be, but when he died, the Anani HaKavod dispersed. Everyone realized it was in his chus, the Anani HaKavod. And v'chein Moshe B'mon, when Moshe died, the Mon stopped. So everyone saw the greatness of Moshe Rabbeinu. It's interesting that over here, Rashi, all the different things that you can say about Moshe Rabbeinu, we focus on the fact that Moshe was a provider, like Yosef. Yosef hu hamashbir. He's the one in talk tachlis. You can talk about spirituality, you can talk about Torah, but sometimes people need the basics. The dover hashavah l'chol nefesh is to provide parnasa. You give someone the means to support himself, you give him everything. Moshe, Aaron, Miriam here is described in this very powerful pasuk that Toiv Shem, Mishem and Tov, it was a reference to the three people who their Maisim Toivim, their righteousness was a merit for the entire Klal Yisrael in this that they provided them with sustenance. The Anani HaKavod, shelter, water, and food. Okay, that concludes Rashi. Let's take a look at the...
But you could just, shame and shemen, it could be just like poetic, a play on words.
Okay, that's an idea. In a Hanami, you can say shame and shemen, it's a poetic similarity, phonetic similarity. In a Hanami, no one said that. So Dr. Fruchter, this will be your contribution. And you're safer. So Rashi really went through, I think, five examples. The truth is there are a lot more in the Midrash, but I think there are a lot more. We'll touch upon some of them in a few moments. Rashi touched upon five similarities between shame and shemen, why we compare these two. I'll see a few more in a moment. But let's first see the Targum on Pasuk Aleph. The Pasuk says... It's really what? We're trying to find some connection between the two, and then say, but shame is even better. There has to be a reason why we selected shemen over all the various things in the world that we could have selected. Okay, let's see pasuk aleph in the Targum. Tov shema tova, it is better. A shema tova di yiknoinet tzadikaya be'ol mohodein. Better is the good reputation that tzadik acquires in this world. Yatir more mimshach revusa than the anoint the shemen, the great oil. Revusa means here mimshach revusa, the anointed oil, the hava misrabe that was anointed. So here the Targum says something a little bit different that was not said. Rashi alluded to this in the Medrash, but the Targum over here says it more explicitly. Al reshei malchin v'chohanin, the shemen hamishka was used to anoint kings and kohanim. Every kohen gadol and every melech was anointed. Al pi halacha, you only need to anoint every new kohen gadol. You don't need to anoint a ben melech. The only time you need to anoint the child of a melech is if there is some machlokes. If it's not clear cut that he is the heir to the throne. But the child of a kohen gadol, you always have to anoint no matter what. Whoever takes over, because it's not going to be Yerusha, whoever takes over the kohen gadol requires shemen hamishka. So here it says, a good reputation is greater than the reputation, than the oil that is used, not like what the Mitsudos and Rashi in one of his interpretations says, referring to a fragrant oil. We're referring very specifically to the shemen hamishka, v'maskun toy lo sasu kamohu. It's a certain type of shemen oil that has its unique ingredients, which was used to anoint kings and kohanim gedolim. A good reputation that weakened with a person in this world. There's no more shemen hamishka b'zman hazeh, and shemen hamishka is something which you now not even make. It must have stopped the Bayis Rishon. There was no Shemla Mishkan Shem Bayis Sheni. I think Yoshiyahu, 22 years before the Chum Beis HaMikdash, he hid the Shemla Mishkan. I think Hazal say that. So the Shemla Mishkan came to an end in time of the Bayis Rishon, a reputation that a person can acquire today. Today, Tav Shin, Ayin Vav, Tehei Shnas, Oyeshe V'chovet, Oyeshe V'chovet. The Heishnas, Oyz V'hoder, Oyz V'hoder, okay. Oyz V'chavet, Tachlis, gotta talk Tachlis. Oyz V'chavet. So a reputation a person acquired Bizman Hazeh is greater than the Shemen HaMishka that existed 3,000 years ago. That's what the Targum is telling us. V'yomer d'yishkoiv gevar, the day that a person dies, he lies down u'miftar, and he is potter. Lebeis kivurte, he goes to the cemetery, b'shumta, with a good name. With a good name, the day the person dies, and he leaves this world with a good reputation, is better. Tov u'tov, u'vizchusa, it's better, and it's good, and it captures merit. Min yoima de isyalid reshio ba'alma. So here the Targum says, referring specifically to the wicked. It's a very interesting translation. It's not the way all of the other commentators translate this pasuk. Everyone seems to say is, we're dealing with anyone, even a person that ultimately will be a very great tzaddik. A person has a tendency, he's born to a good family, he turns out to be a good person, but still in all, you don't know what's going to be. Hashem does not have faith in his tzaddikim until the Yom Yisa. Hashem, when there's a pasuk, ki lo yamin, a person can mess up even the very, very last minute. A person, ki hein bit said.
We have
what's the pasuk? Hein bik doyshav. Bik doyshav lo yamin. Bik doyshav lo yamin.
Until the end of his days.
Yochanan,
but Yochanan Kohen Gadol was a bit different, because Yochanan Gadol originally was not, if I'm not mistaken, was not 100%. Then the commentators say that I could be making a mistake, but I believe Yochanan Kohen Gadol originally was not 100% observant, whatever that means. And then he was chozer b'shuv and went on to be the famous Rabbi Yochanan Kohen Gadol. And then the Seif Yomov, Kohen Gadol. And then the very end, he went back and became a tzedoki. So the commentators say, don't get nervous from him, because in the very beginning, he was also had leanings towards what? Okay. Whatever it means, but a person that has that's mushrosh, so there is a certain emuna that a person will remain at tzaddik to the very, very end. Okay, but it still says behein b'kedoshav lo yamin. Hashem does not have faith in His holy ones. There's no guarantee. So this refers to every single person in this world, and that's why the yom hamomis mimivoldo, better day of death than day of birth, because day of death, at least now we know for sure, there's nothing wrong, nothing more that can go wrong. He was at tzaddik through and through. It's a simcha, more so than the day that he was born. But that's not what the Targum says. The Targum seems to say that a person that's born, don't worry about it, he has a chazaka. A person that's born as a chazaka is going to be okay. We're referring specifically to the day when a rasha is born. So you're going to ask, how do you know? A little child, how do you know it's going to be a rasha? I don't know. Maybe it means a person who's born in a family, a person who's born to the mafia. When the mafia, when they make a simcha, when they make a...
Birth, a simcha,
you know, a child that's going to be raised for evil purposes. Okay, I don't know. This is what the Targum says. Okay, before we go further, I want to just point out some other short ideas I came across here in this sefer. Okay, first idea is another reason why we compare a good reputation to oil. Oil is something which provides illumination. Okay, maybe not today. Today it provides gasoline for the cars. But oil provides illumination. Time Chazal. On Friday night, you know, we light near Shabbos. Oil, shemen, provides illumination. Torah mitzvahs, we do not see this. But every time a person does a mitzvah, a person is mekayim a mitzvah, a person learns Torah, he creates for himself a degree. Good morning, Rabbi Miller. Where a person creates for himself a degree of radiance, a degree of awe, a degree of awe for himself in the next world, and even to some degree in this world. So that's what the pasuk. Another reason why we compare a shem toiv to shemen toiv. The best oil in this world, the best light. Today when you buy a light bulb, they tell you, is it a soft white? Is it a this white, a that white? Is it good for reading? Is it good for illumination? All the LEDs. I don't know, when you go drive in the street at night, is it better or worse now?
It's brighter.
It's brighter?
Some of them literally blind you.
Some people complain that it's a different type of light. It's a little bit
glary light.
What?
Glary light.
It's a glary light.
Glary light.
So it's glare. That's not necessarily good.
Yeah, especially for drivers coming into you.
Okay, so everything has its mileless and chesroinus. Everything in life is a trade-off. But Shemen Toiv represents the best of the best. You'll take all of the qualities of this light, incandescent bulb and a fluorescent bulb, LED bulb, you'll take alamilus of every type of light you can possibly have, and you'll put it into a chemical. The Shemen Toiv, illumination, but Shein Toiv, the good reputation, which means the Torah and mitzvos a person accomplishes, acquires in this world, will be for him an or a light, a spiritual light. That's why we're comparing the Shemen to the Shein in the next world. That is beyond compared to the Shemen Toiv of this world, of any of the best illumination that you can have in this world. The illumination of this world is just a mushal for the illumination a person will benefit from in the next world in reward for his Torah and Ma'asim Tovim. Okay, another idea I came across. This is a Gemara. It seems that in ancient times, when a person was born, I don't know exactly the details. Maybe you know, you're more familiar, that they would take the placenta, the cilia of the baby, and they would soak it in oil. Now, why would they do that?
Preserve it.
What?
Preserve it.
Why would they want to preserve it? It could be that it was used later as a medicine or some type of stell cell research. Right? Embryonic stem cell research. So Chazal were ahead of they were ahead of the game. It goes to show that Chazal, they obviously recognized that in the placenta there is some type of quality, some type of property which was used later in the growing up of the child to help him live. So here that's why we're comparing the Yom HaMoris to the Yom Hivoldo. On the day of birth, they would sell in the hospital Shemen Toiv. Okay, today in the hospital, when I send them in the maternity wards, they come out to take pictures. Okay, they provide services in the maternity ward in order to profit off every. So what was the service? What was the commodity that was sold at the time of birth? Shemen Toiv. A child was born, you preserve the placenta, and you take the placenta and you put it away for safekeeping, because you're going to need it later on. I do not know why. You need it later on for some type of benefit. Maybe they would make some type of medicine from it for the...
I guess the theory was, if the baby nourished on that, then it must be very good.
It must be very good. Somehow they use it. It's a little bit of a mystery what they used it for. But they would want to preserve it. And what they would use to preserve the shilia, the placenta, was Shemen Toiv. So the pasuk here says the shame. That's a beautiful interpretation. That's why we're comparing the Yom Hamoves to the Yom Hivoldoi. The name a person takes with him to the next world, the reputation a person has at the time of death, his Shein Toiv, the good name, the good reputation he takes with him in the next world, is better than the day of that he's born. And when we refer to the day of birth, we refer to the Shemen, to the oil. To the oil, meaning the oil that they're going to use to preserve his life, his life in this world. That shilia is critical so that he have a good life. They need to preserve the shilia to draw the nutrients so that he live a long life. But the Shein Toiv that he takes with him into the Chayei Nitzchi, in the Olam HaEmes, that is much more important than the shame they're trying to acquire on the day of birth. So the pasuk reads, Toiv shame, Yishemen Toiv, Miyoy Mahamovitz Miyom Yivoldo. So it's really meant to be interpreted. The pasuk is Toiv Shem Biyoim Hamoves. You see, you have to go and match up the beginning of the pasuk with the end of the pasuk. Toiv Shem, better is the shame that he acquires, he takes with him on the day of Moves, than the Shemen HaToiv that is acquired on the day of birth. Because the Shemen Toiv they acquire on the day of birth is to preserve him in this world. And who knows what's really going to be in this world? Will he be a tzaddik? Will he be a rasha? But the Shein Tov that he takes with him on the day that he leaves this world, that is eternal. That is nitzchi. That will be with him forever. Okay. Now, there's another idea, something a little bit similar. We know that in time of death, this is the opposite. People's bodies were embalmed. Am I saying that right? Yaakov Avinu. The doctors, it's a question why the doctors, but it was customary in ancient times, even among tzaddikim, that they would preserve their body. They would apply different spices, and the main ingredient they would use to preserve the body is shemen toif. So this is exactly why we are referring to the shemen toif. A person dies, come to the Yom HaMisa, you go to the funeral home, and the first question is, what kind of tachlichim, right? What kind of coffin, and what kind of shemen would you like to purchase to preserve the body? This was the question that the funeral director would ask. It was a business. So this, the way we have funerals today is relatively a modern thing. I mean, mind you, going back to the time of Yochanan ben Zakkai, I believe. Going back to the time of the Churban Bayis Sheni. It's 2,000 years old, the way we conduct ourselves at funerals. But before Yochanan ben Zakkai, people were buried. They were dressed up in their finest. Mm-hmm. And they were buried in the everything was very elaborate. Not anymore today because people couldn't afford, and it was such a strain on the family, a financial strain.
The problem today is what they're charging for tax.
Okay, I know. That's right.
You can buy it yourself. You don't have to wait for it.
Mr. Maniello was the one who sold all the Jewish fuel.
Okay, there's a lot to discuss. But over here, Shlomo HaMelech was still living at the time when funerals, we probably wouldn't recognize a funeral. If we went to a funeral during the time of Shlomo HaMelech, we would think we're going to a wedding.
They had women with Canaanites.
Exactly. We probably would think we're going to a wedding. Okay, the mace was probably exposed, not like today, and the mace was probably dressed up in the most beautiful garments.
So a Chinese funeral had music.
On the excavations,
they show. Go to New Orleans.
The Gemara in Sanhedrin says it was abolished because of the affordability.
Okay, right, that's exactly. But if we would see a funeral, the Thomas Shalmelech, we would probably not recognize because of all the various things that were done. And one of the things that was done was the body was preserved in Shemen Toif, like Yaakov Avinu. And therefore, the Pasuk says, here we are dealing with the day of death. Everyone is coming to the funeral. Wow, they purchased the most expensive Shemen to preserve the body. The body is going to last forever. It's nonsense. The Shemen Toif is not the Iker. What the Iker is, the Shein Toif. When you come to the funeral, don't focus on the Matseva. Don't focus on the beautiful chapel and the beautiful service. What you focus on is Toiv Shein Mishemen Toif. You go to a cemetery today, don't be impressed with all the lavish Matsevas and all the very various things that people do. The only thing that really counts is the good reputation of the Yom HaMavet and Yom HaYoldo. And the Pasuk then goes on to explain this idea that the Siddur Tzedakeh that just concludes that the day of similar idea, the day of death is better than the day of birth, because the day of death the person at least knows we know what he has accomplished. Okay, another idea is to read the Pasuk Toiv Shemi Shemitov. The Pasuk includes the Yom HaMoves. The Yom HaMoves is good when Miyom Hivolda is when the Yom HaMoves was already in front of the person at the time of birth. In other words, when the person is born, every day of his life, he puts in front of him that he's aware where he's going. When he lives a life knowing that that type of death is a life of that's worthy of praise. The Yom HaMoves, when the Yom HaMoves was already present, Miyom when is there going to be when is there going to be a shame tov? Tov shame yishem and tov. When the yom hamavis, when the person's day of death is already present, miyom hivaldo.
What says it over here?
When the yom hamavis already is sensed in the time of the time. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Okay, one other idea from the Ta'alumos Chochma. The Yoyim HaMoves, this is a very, very frightening thing when it comes to Yom Kippur. We just went through Yom Kippur.
He says something even more.
Yeah.
He says that a person who he dies on the day that it was actually.
Oh, exactly.
Said,
right. That's exactly what I wanted to say.
When he was born.
Exactly what I wanted to say from the Talumas Chachma.
Yeah.
When a person is born, there's a gezer min hashamayim. There's a gezer. How long this person is meant to live? He's meant to live 90 years, 100 years, 120 years.
Mm-hmm.
But through life, a person, through his good deeds and through his averos, we're really focusing on through averos, he can shorten what was meant to be. He was meant to live for 90 years, and due to his sins, he's been reduced to 70. He's been reduced to 60. And obviously that's a very great source. So that's what Paul says. Yes, absolutely. So the Chazal say, so when the Yoyim HaMoves is when the person's day of death is the same day that was decreed, Miyoyim Hivoldo, on the day of birth. If the person leaves this world on the day that was decreed, on the day that he was born, this person is a success. But if Chas V'Shalom, the day of his death is not the same day as what was decreed on the day of his birth, meaning that he has died prematurely, why? Due to his averos, that means the person has failed. So Toiv Shame Yishem, when is a person's shame going to be a true shame? When the Yoyim HaMoves is in sync with Miyoyim Hivoldo. It is what was meant to be. The Talumos Chachma. I saw from Rav Shmuel Shapiro, the Be'er Shmuel, he says this in reference to Yom Kippur. He says something very frightening. He says, we come out of Yom Kippur and we look back, let's look at, if we made it to this year, Rosh Hashanah, so what does that mean? That means that last year, Yom Kippur, it was a good Yom Kippur. We went through, we had a Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, and we survived an entire year, and we're still here, Baruch Hashem. So that means last year was a good year. So halavai that this year Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur should be the same. It's feel like a very big mistake. They don't realize that when a person comes out of Yom Kippur, a person's entire his trajectory in life is readjusted. It's not that on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur it's decreed what's going to be the next year. It's what's going to be until the very, very end. A person was mentally, let's say for example, for 90 years, and then it comes 1 year Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. They make a cheshbon. This person is really not behaving the way he should. He's making a lot of trouble. So we're going to recalculate, like a GPS, we're going to recalculate a different destination. Today we're much more sensitive. All the new GPS, they don't give you that annoying message, recalculating. They just recalculate on its own. But in Shemayim, they recalculate a different destination. So he says, or Rav Shmuel says, it's very frightening. A person can come out of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, he can lose 30 years. He thinks he's going to live for 90 years. That was what was meant to be. He was born and was destined that he should live until 90 years, healthy, gesund, with nachas. And in Shemayim, they see this person has done such terrible things. He's damaged his neshama. He's not going to make it to 90. We're going to recalculate his destination. He's only going to live to 60. And he's only 30 years old now. So he comes out of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. He feels great. He's singing and dancing his way home from shul. He had a wonderful davening. Little does he know that in Shemayim it was decreed to lose 30 years of his life. Enochinami has 30 years to do tshuva, but it's not so simple once you start going down the wrong path. Once things, HaKadosh Baruch Hu orchestrates events to happen a certain way where a person is not going to be around what's meant to be, it's very hard to do tshuva and to merit to get back on track and to live what was meant to be 90 years. And sometimes a person it could be, he was only meant to live till the age of 30. and he's 25 years old, and he comes out of Rosh Hashanah Kippur, Kaddish Baruch Hu, says, this person's a tzaddik. He's a tzaddik. So you know what? Let's give him another 25 years. Let's give him, so instead of him leaving this world, whatever was meant to be 30, we'll give him another 20. So he comes out of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. It wasn't Nigzar 1 year. It was decreed upon him 25 years, a 25-year gain. So we really do not know how things are happening in Shemayim on the Yom HaDin, and to some degree, that's really what this Pasuk of Yerushalayim says, according to Talmud Sechachma, that when does a person acquire, when does a person consider when he leaves his world, he left his this world with a shem tov, a good reputation, he is a success, is when the Yom HaMoves is in sync with Miyom Hivoldo, with what was meant to be on the day he was born.
On your birthday, you should give tikkun.
Why?
Because it's going to be your yard sale.
They're all to fit you, maybe half of you.
Tzaddikim, he's referring that tzaddikim, they mashlim shenaisav. A true tzaddik, he dies on the same day he was born.
If you're saying that that's going to be a yartzak, you're a balgaivanik, so you.
He dies.
People enjoy it, you can be a balgaivanik.
Okay.
I always said it's very interesting, Rabbi.
Yeah.
That the worst thing when you take the course in college, the worst thing is not to have any exams until the final exam. You don't know if you're keeping up with the.
Exactly.
The best thing is to have a report card every week.
Stash reports.
After Yom Kippur, you don't know. Your feedback is, you have no idea if you're doing the right thing or the wrong thing.
That way,
in between.
Okay, so that's what Yemei HaDin is. Every year, once a year, we have a
Chesed. Yeah, but you don't get the report card.
Well, you can sense it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we have a principle. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not trying to make it difficult for us. A person has the sense. A person is serious. You can go to the base. You go once a year. You can make a Chesed HaNefesh. You get a sense of where you're holding. Every person, if you think about it, there's an expression in Chazal, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not come to try to deceive us.
Betruna
in Bria Yisaf. Hashem is not trying to deceive us. This is a principle among the Apikorsim. Hashem is the evil genius. He created us to cause us to suffer. That is 100% Apikorsim. It's a very profound idea. But we have to use that idea to appreciate that is Apikorsis. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created us to give us benefit, to do good to us, not Chas V'Shalom to make it hard for us, to make trouble for us. And we have to look at life in that fashion, and everything then has a different meaning. Better that a person should not be born than be born,
that's
because
there's more mitzvah sloises than mitzvah sasei.
There's more mitzvahs that say right. As I say, so there's more of a chance. Okay, there is some other medrash. Okay, one other idea. I think this is what the medrash means. How do we know that toiv shem yishemen? Toiv shem yishemen toiv. Look at the Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol was nimshach with the shemen toiv once in his life when he was appointed the Kohen Gadol. But every single day he carries on his shoulders and on the choshen the names of Klal Yisrael. So toiv shem, the shem refers to the name of the shiftei koh, the names of Klal Yisrael. This is better than the shemen toiv, than the fragrant oil, the shemen hamishcha. The shemen hamishcha, easy come, easy go. The Kohen Gadol applies it on his forehead, on his body once. You would expect, maybe you would suggest that the Kohen Gadol, every single time that he gets dressed, should put on shemen hamishcha. I mean, among people, human beings, they apply Shemen Afarsimot. So what would be so far-fetched to think, to suggest that the Kohen Gadol, part of wearing the Bidei Kohuna, and when he gets dressed in the Bidei Kohuna, he should smear a little of the Shemen HaMishcha upon his body.
But the first time he goes to the mikveh, he loses,
so he'll put it on again, or come out of the mikveh, he'll put on the Shemen HaMishcha over and over again. Why should the Kohen Gadol be different than, an ordinary melech? Among the Goyim, it appears that it was common that the king and the ordinary and priests among the Goyim, part of their levush is not just the clothing they wear, is also they would anoint themselves with different types of anointments. We're far removed from this today. Maybe we're not. You go into a department store, handing out the perfume. I remember my mother used to take me to Macy's, Bloomingdale's, and I was always afraid coming into the big lobby. There was such a mahoma, so many people running around, and there were always people harassing you, giving you perfume, right? Yeah. anyone ever go to one? They harass you. So it's not so far-fetched. This was something which was acceptable, which was normal in ancient times. Yet, there is no record of the Kohen Gadol doing such a thing. The Kohen Gadol does not apply Shemen HaMishcha upon his body only the time when he is anointed Kohen Gadol. Why not? Because he doesn't need it. Because every single day when he does his service, he carries upon him the Shem Tov. Who is the Shem Tov? The Shiftei Ka. On the Ephod and on the Choshen. Tov, Shem, Mishemen Tov. Okay, now with that, let's go to the next Pasuk. Pasuk Beis. Pasuk Beis says, Tov lechas l'beis evil, milechas l'beis mishtei, v'asher hu soif kol adam. It's better to go to a beis evil, to go to a house of mourning, than to go to a house of mishtei, to a party, seemingly to a wedding. V'asher hu soif kol adam. It is the end of man. V'achai yitein elibo. The living shall apply this to their heart, shall consider this, contemplate upon this concept, death versus life, versus celebration. Now, there are many interpretations. Let's go slow. First thing first, Mitzudo Stavit. Posthumous. Everyone here is going to say a chiddush. All of the commentators are not going to take this pasuk sitting down. They're very excited about this pasuk. Toiv lelachas. Yoyser tov lelachas lebeis ha'evel. It's better to go to a house of mourning to do what? So we're going to see a very big difference between the Targum and the Mitzudos. What are you doing in the Beis Evel? Simming, you think it's a mitzvah. There is a mitzvah to go to a Beis Evel to give comfort. Menach Nichum Avelim is a very great mitzvah. Going to a wedding, there's a very great mitzvah of Simchas Chosan V'Kala. So you would think that we're contrasting which of the two mitzvahs is a better mitzvah. It's not what it says. It says go to the Beis Evel not to do a mitzvah, just to observe. Instead of you doing a mitzvah, you go there for your own benefit to listen. Toiv yoiser, yoiser tov lechas lebeis ha'evel l'shmoya kinois, v'yololois, eulogies, and wailing, hama'atziv es alev, which sat in the heart, milalechas lebeis ha'mishcha, lirois, to see. I'm not going there to give simcha to the chasen kal, they don't need me. I'm going there for my own benefit, to go fill up my stomach, good meal, and to watch all of the entertainers, the performers, the good new band that's playing tonight, and they're having some jugglers, and they're having what?
Forget about it.
The music is deafening. Because the occurrence of death, of mourning, is the end of man. Everyone will ultimately die. Even though he's still alive. Yitain elibai shagam elav yisablu bevoy es khalifaso. Allah yisablu bevoy es khalifaso. The day will come when he also will die, and people will mourn over him. Uvzeh yecherad. He will be afraid. The yichna levavo. He will humble his heart. The yiyeh nishmar min hachit. Okay, so it's fascinating to take note that according to the Pshat, we're not dealing here with a kim of a mitzvah. That's what the mitzvah says. We're dealing here, you're going as an observer. You're not even invited. There are people that do that. They're not even invited. They're just curious to see. It's a good thing, it says, to go see what's doing by a funeral, because you will at least be humbled by the experience.
People go from funeral to funeral to listen to this tape.
I'm not aware of such a thing. Today a lot of...
He goes around with the tape. He's the first one who shows up at the base level.
He's still around. I haven't seen him in a long time.
Yeah,
Yosef, Pfeffelkorn. Pfeffelkorn, he's still around. I haven't seen him. He used to come to every bris.
Oh, no.
Pfeffelkorn.
No.
He's not... I haven't seen
him. He's the Pfeffelkorn now.
Where is he? I haven't seen him in a long time. Who?
Yankel Pfeffelkorn.
Yankel Pfeffelkorn. I haven't seen him in a very long time. Okay, other people. Okay, you know, today some of the better funeral homes, they have a live stream. You can go watch online. The funeral home has a website, and people who cannot make it to the funeral can see the Hespedim live streaming online. It's a very good service. A lot of things today are like that. A lot of the events today are streamed online. It makes it very convenient for people to see. So it says here, according to something to this, something to it. There's definitely something to this idea. Okay, let's take a look over here at Rashi. Rashi says something very different. Toiv lelechas lebeis evel, nida haneheges bechayim uva mesim. Going to a beis evel is something which which you're accomplishing two things. You're doing it, it appears from Rashi. I'm not sure I'm saying what is correct, but you're doing a mitzvah. You're doing a mitzvah, it seems, which is a mitzvah for the living and the dead. When you go to a Beis Avel, you're mourning for the dead. Then the Sham, we don't appreciate what this means, but the Chazal it's mashma that the Nes, the Neshama, derives benefit from when the living are busy with its funeral, with its hesped and the kavura. It somehow it derives benefit when other people are there and are occupied in what needs to be done. So you're doing a chesed with the mace. In addition, by going to a funeral, you're also being the chazek, you're giving comfort to the living, the relatives. The relatives are distraught, and the more people that are there to give them comfort is a greater source of chizik. So going, even the burial itself, if a person would bury his dead all alone, a person would go to the funeral, there'd be no one to talk to, just talk to himself. Yeah, it's
a burial, yes.
Okay, so in a chnami, so Chazal in a chnami, that's a discussion. It's more difficult for us to appreciate the shiva, but certainly we can appreciate the funeral itself. So let's focus on the funeral itself. Okay, now let's assume also Beis Avel here means even the place of mourning. Let's assume yes, Chazal indeed say
Yikar
We don't know what these things mean. The neshama comes back and forth. The neshama of the mace is present at the Beis Avel. That's why the Beis Avel is usually the chatila should be in the place where the oval lived, where the mace lived, not in the home. Not in the home of the living, the relatives. Okay, these are Kabbalistic and Yanim, but Chazal tell us that the dead does derive benefit from the kavod that's been given at the time of the Shiva. And who else is deriving benefit? Certainly the living, the relatives. They're deriving benefit. But going to a wedding, who is deriving benefit from the wedding? Only the living. You never saw a dead man walk into a wedding. The chassan is usually very happy.
The dragging is
so pale and white.
What? The parents are the ones that are very distraught. They have to pay for it. But the a wedding, Rashi seems to say that going to a wedding, you're only giving pleasure to the living. Going to a funeral, you're giving pleasure to the living and the dead. That's what it seems. Toiv mida hanoheges b'chayim uvames.
Because when you're going to the funeral, besides the dead, you're also comforting the family.
Right, that's what I said, right.
Yeah, but by
a wedding, there's only living, there's no dead. Even though they'll tell you, Kabbalah, all the neshamas of the relatives, they come.
No,
let's put that aside. Yeah.
No, they are coming to partake in the simcha.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that because you're...
They don't need you. They don't need you.
They don't need you.
They don't need you. The dead needs the living at the time of a funeral. But at a wedding, whatever Kabbalah you're going to tell me about the dead coming, which we're not into these type of things.
No, it says that the dead had...
But they don't need us.
But the guests coming, they're not...
They're not coming if it's the dead.
They're coming for the living.
So this was Sim Rashi. What were you going to say?
Maybe it doesn't have anything to do with mitzvahs or not. Mida no heges b'chayim emeisim. Avel, it happens. There's something going on between both the dead and
okay.
And chasna is only for the living.
Only living. So it doesn't mean doing a mitzvah. It just means it's an event. It's a life yeah. event. It's a life event. It has more significance because you're dealing with more concepts. Life and death. Mida haneheges b'chayim v'meisim. Mileches al-beis mishteh shehi mida she'en haneheges elo b'chayim. It's a very fascinating look at it. I mean, you look at it. That's you're dealing with living and the dead or healing with the dead. He explains. B'asher hu ha-seifel kol adam. B'shvil sho'evel hu soif kol adam. Soifa shel kol adam. Lovo lidei kach. Lefichach. Therefore, since every living creature, it's a one-way street. It's a one-way street. Every living creature will one day die. Lefichach. Therefore, ha-chayitin el-libo. Kol ma'she egmol na-chesed im ha-meis. The kindness that I bestow upon the dead is something which I will one day need. This is a very interesting idea. It's tareich ani sheyigmelu li b'maisi. I will need people to do the same thing for me. It's like a contribution to society. If I will be good to the dead, so when my turn comes, the living will be good to me. Even though it's not going to be the same, the dead's not going to come to me. It's going to be the other living, the relatives. Diyidal yid lune. Now, I'm not sure what that means. I think that means to lower into the coffin, lower into the grave. I mean, it's the people who participate the people who participate and they help, they assist in lowering the coffin into the grave, a person who assists will merit that someone will lower his coffin into the grave. The yit'an yit'anune, if I help carry the coffin to the cemetery, then I will merit HaKadosh Baruch Hu midah k'negamidah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will cause it to be that someone will come and carry my coffin. The yispeid, if I will eulogize the dead, I will merit someone will come and eulogize me, yaspidune. Dilovei, if I will escort, I will escort the dead to the grave, Levaya, Yal Vine, others will escort me. So this is a very fascinating concept because here it's a different group. If I will do this, I'm not planning on going for a long time. So why should I go and busy myself by going to someone's funeral? There's no way the dead will come to my funeral. And it's very unlikely the living at this funeral and the relatives of these people will ever come to me. It's a whole different society. I happen to know these people, so I'm coming to their funeral, but I'm not planning on leaving this world anytime soon. I'm going to be around for a very long time, and when it comes time for me to die, there's no way, it's extremely unlikely any participant here will come to my funeral. But yet, it's a very that there is a hashkocha. Either you can say it's darkei shel olam. If this is what I do, mimela, it's natural. This is how society is set up. People will do this for me. Or maybe you'll say it's hashkacha pratis. Hashem, I'm doing chesed, so you make sure you, the ribbono shel olam, you make sure it's a deal that when my turn comes, there should be someone that will do chesed with me. Either you can take it on a very secular, it's just the way society will be set up, or you can take it in a more spiritual way, and you make a deal with Hashem, I will do chesed, so you will do chesed with me. Period. Dover acher, another interpretation, ba'asher hu sof kol adam, shamisa hi sof kol yimei adam, v'im lo yachshav, goyim eloi chesed, lo yigmo loy od, now is my last chance. The last opportunity you have to give kavod to the niftar is now. The niftar is not going to have another funeral. He's not going to be making more simchas. So the last chance you have is now, whereas, look at this very fascinating idea, aval beis hamishteh, but let's say your friend makes a wedding and you don't want to go. Big deal, I don't go. I'll make it up to him. Because he'll eventually make a bris, he'll make a bar mitzvah, he'll marry off one of his children. There'll be other opportunities for me to give him simcha. Aval beis hamishteh zimnoi, if a person invites you, v'loi halach yuchol loi mar loi, no, don't worry, so I miss. Seifcha she yivoleid l'cha, she yivoleid l'cha ben, v'sham e'yimach, I'll come to the bris. 9 months later, I'll come to the bris of your grandson. I didn't come to the wedding of your son, but I'll come to the bris. There will be other opportunities. But death, it's the kovod acharon. That's why it's called the kovod, it's the last. There's no other chance. Im loy achshav, im osai. V'yachai yitin elibo, hadavar hazesh, im loy achshav, yigmo loy chesed, lo yigmo loy od. That's what a person should pay close attention to. So, sachkol, according to Rashi, we have two mahalchim. We have the first mahalch is that the living should recognize the dead, that if they're not going to do this for the dead, no one's going to. What does it mean by chayit and libay? Rashi's first interpretation, the living should recognize that if they do not do chesed with the dead, no one will do chesed with them. They're really helping themselves. When you help someone else, you're really helping yourself. That's what a chai yitein elibo. Do for someone what you want to be done for you. Rashi's second interpretation, v'chai yitein elibo, pay close attention, now is the last chance you'll have. This was a good person, a friend, a relative, whatever it is, now is the last chance you can give cover to his neshama. How does that neshama derive benefit? He's no longer here, we don't know what this means, but obviously it does. That neshama is going to, obviously it's present, and it's going to have an effect on you at a later point in time in your life, and this is something to pay close attention to. Now the Targum is interesting. Let's see the Targum Pasuk Beis, how he defines.
Also, our...
Okay, give me one moment. Let me find it in my sefer. I have a different sefer which I have to turn a couple of pages here. Tov lemeza lebeis guvra avila, to go to the home of a man. Lebeis guvra avila linacho musay. See, the Targum adds this very powerful word that Rashi, well, at least the Mitzvahs avoided. The Mitzvahs clearly stayed away from this. According to the Mitzvahs, the purpose of going to the Beis Hillel is not to do a mitzvah. You're going to the Beis Hillel just to listen, just to humble yourself. It's a Musa Shmuz. It's a Musa Shmuz. He says, no, you're going there to do a mitzvah. You're going there not for yourself, to give comfort. A mitzvah, mila mezal lebeis mishtaya, the chamra, a place of a mishtayayin, a place to drink wine where? Dimis lo avin of hoilulus. A base mishtay chamra, a place of dimis lo avin where they celebrate. Why? Now, what are you doing by your wedding? So he doesn't say this in the Targum, but I'm assuming if you're going to a base avil to give comfort, so mistami, you're going to a base mishtayayin to celebrate. To me, mesameh chasam lekala. The base avila, in the base avil, tamad hu soif kol enosha. Upon every living creature is decreed death. And being that he goes to a base evel, guvra tzadika yosef, a tzadik will sit. The yitain lilibe mile demosa. If a person will go to a base evil, he will automatically become a tzaddik, and he will reflect upon life, the purpose of life, and the fact that he will die. The in is bide midoam, and he will then come with anything bish. If he will then come to, if he has anything sins in his life, yishbekine, he will abandon his sins. The suf tshuva. Bis yufta kadam mori olma. Going to a base evil will bring a person to do teshuva. V'chai yitain elibo, not like Rashi, not like the Mitzudos. It means to do teshuva. And according to Rashi, the chaitin means two things. Either a second interpretation is the chaitin elibo is do for him what you want done to you. Or the second interpretation, v'chai yitain elibo. I've got already. Rashi's second interpretation is im loy achshav imosai. The mitzudos, go back to the mitzudos, v'chai yitain elibo. This is really what the same thing. The chai yitain elibo, according to the mitzudos, is identical to what the Targum says to do tshuva. To do tshuva. Going to a base evil to see death in front of you brings a person lidei tshuva. Okay, a few short things.
Talmud has a very interesting part.
The cause is slightly different.
The cause
is here. Targum says,
going to be menachem avel. And by doing the mitzvah, you'll come to take it to Arinah Hanan. Okay, that's also the major difference. You're going to a mitzvah, you're just going there to be an observer. Yeah.
Talmud is Chachma has a very interesting thing. He says, "Tegel leches el beis ovel," to go to a beis ovel, mi leches, when this nifter is one who is going el beis mishta. He says, because Mises Sadikim is called Hilula.
Oh, okay.
Hilula is a
celebration.
So he says, when you're going to such a levay or such a thing, you're learning and you're finding out about
it's a chassidish of art. It's a lula. Okay, you have to touch the word milachas. Okay, we'll come to that in one moment.
He's from those that are going.
Okay, I just want to point out one beautiful var from the Alshach. Okay, Rav Meir gave me the Alshach. He gave me today from the Alshach. This is a really powerful vart. He says, going to a wedding is also a reflection on death. Because why do we get married? The only reason why a man needs to get married is because he dies. No one lives forever, so you have to leave a replacement in this world. Adam HaRishon was only given the mitzvah of pre-revia after he ate from the Chet Eitz Hadas. Had Adam HaRishon not eaten from the Chet Eitz Hadas, he would have lived forever, and there would be no need for him to be the Kayim pre-revu.
Would there be no children?
Some, this is a very big debate. Some say not. This is a discussion. Some say that only the reason why there is a mitzvah of priya or revi is because you're going to die. So you have an obligation to leave over a replacement.
It would have been no mitzvah, but you could have had without a mitzvah.
I don't know. This is all very mystical. These are all very mystical things. So therefore, look at this. When you go to a wedding, this is amazing. Some in fact say going to a wedding is not even a mitzvah. The mitzvah is to have children. So going to a wedding is a hechsher mitzvah. It's only a preparation for the mitzvah. You know, going to a beis avel is a real mitzvah. When you give comfort to an avel, when you go to a funeral, you mamish bin oisek in halvoya sames. When you go to a wedding, you're not really going to a mitzvah. You're going to people that are being oisek in a hechsher mitzvah. They're getting married so that they can in the future have children.
Yeah, but it's Simchas Chasen
V'Kala also. So it's Simchas Chasen V'Kala, but the mitzvah of Simchas Chasen V'Kala is a simcha of Hechsher mitzvah. We're going to a beis avel is the real deal. When you go to a beis avel, you're giving real nechama, you're giving real ches, real. So this is what the Alshach says.
See them say that the hacham to the mitzvah is greater than the...
Oh. Okay, but for you it's greater, but in halachic terms it's not the same. So here's what the Alshach says. When you go to a wedding, it's really a reflection on death. The only reason why people are getting married is because they're going to die. So when you go to a wedding, it's not a happy event. Next time you put on your tuxedo and your good shoes, and you go to a wedding, what are you going to? I'm going to an event that only has to take place in this world. We're going to an event that only has to take place in this world because there's something called death. Because there's something called death in this world, that is why you have to go to a wedding. That's why there needs to be a wedding. So look at this. When you go to a wedding, what are you reflecting upon? Death. When you go to a funeral, what are you reflecting upon? Death. So what's the difference?
Death is death.
What's the difference? When you're dead, you're dead. It doesn't make a difference. So what's the difference? What's the difference between the two? So the answer is, so this is very powerful stuff. The answer is, it's true. A wedding, you reflect upon death. A funeral, you reflect upon death. But a funeral, the dead body is there. It's the real deal. It's something that you can touch and you can sense. A funeral, a wedding, is only conceptual. Ein doimer shmia l'ri'ia. When you describe something to someone, so you can describe it in the most flowery terms and all the various concepts. But when you actually see it, when you actually sense it, that's an entirely different ball game. That's exactly what the pasuk says. Toiv, it's better leches el beis avel, mileches el beis mishne. Basho soiv kolod machayitin libo. Watch. This is a lesson for life. You can think about something. You can conceptualize about something all you want. But ein doimer when you have to put it into practice. When you see it in front of you, that's an entirely different making. This is what the Alshach interprets the pasuk.
How's he looking at divorce?
What?
If a wedding is really preparation for a funeral, what's a divorce?
What's a divorce? It's celebration. Celebration.
Celebration.
Pure celebration.
Okay. What do you call it? They say by chassidim a lot of times before a chuppah, there's someone that gives mussar to the chassid.
Yeah.
So once he said to him, he said, when you're born, they eat a candle. When you get married, they eat a candle. The next time they eat a candle for you is going to be at your levayas.
Scary.
Obviously, Shlomo has a very negative spin on how to look at it. I mean, talking about Makarta, Makayim. I mean, yesterday with Yavoda, the big mishta that the Kamei Gadol.
The Yom Tov HaYa'isa Suda.
Because he was Makhaper for the whole month, and for the next year, they should have a good year. So, I mean, that's.
It's a balance. Everything is a balance. Everything in life is a balance. We're focusing on the negative here. That's what it says. What's the purpose of getting married? That's what it says.
Weddings and funerals.
A new chumrah. Anu chomra.
Weddings and funerals.
No, the
rabbi, you get married to women too old to have children. You get married for all kinds of good reasons.
Of course, but there is still why is did Hashem create a world where people need to get married because they need to live over a replacement? So ultimately, if you think deeply what the purpose of the wedding is, it's about death. So what's the difference then going to a wedding or going to a funeral? The answer is because when you go to a funeral, the dead body is in front of you. You can touch it. Going to a wedding, it's theoretical. Yeah, all this is going to happen, whatever is going to happen. It's a different sense. Okay, we'll stop over here.